We're glad you could join us today. Here's Fred Kuhn.
Welcome, everybody. We have a very interesting show today. Space, the new frontier, not the final frontier. And our guest is Robert Carucci. Robert is presently the Regional General Manager, North America, overseeing Crown Logistics, Crown Workspace, and Crown Fine Arts divisions. His background includes leadership positions with UPS, XPO Logistics, Herman Miller, Brinks, and goes on and on. And you can read Robert's bio on the guest biography section of Workplace Strategy. So, Robert, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Fred. Good afternoon.
Oh, it's nice to have you here. So, we're talking about space, the new frontier, as opposed to the final frontier, and it's changing considerably. And one of the things that's driving that change are business needs being driven by the five generations in the workplace. So let's start with working remotely, which is the growing trend in American business. How has the remote work environment changed the needs of businesses, especially in your industry?
Well, in our industry, we have been conducting research, and a study has shown in 2018 that 5% of all employees presently in the United States are working from home. That's straight from the Department of Labor, and that's actually expected to grow. So when we are relocating individuals as opposed to relocating offices, companies have to provide an exciting atmosphere that will retain the engagement of those employees. One thing that we're noticing is that they're providing stipends for employees to decorate their home office. They're holding more interactive town hall events. They're encouraging video chats. And they're also trying to connect employees that work remotely with local groups that support networking, personal development, and CSR.
Aren't they afraid of the networking aspect of that? I mean, the paranoia sets in and says, okay, if you start networking with others, I'm going to lose that employee.
I think when we are evaluating networking, there's two different ways to look at it. You can put yourself at risk, but you also do gain some engagement. And employees, especially millennials, are finding the ability to connect with other people and exchange ideas to be exciting. And that's something that companies are more afraid that they will lose by having employees working, you know, in a solitude fashion, working from home.
So working remotely is something my team has done for over 20 years. So I believe in it myself personally, and I know it works. How does that impact the furniture industry as you plan corporate spaces, moves, consolidations, all of that? How are you being impacted by that?
What we're learning is there's an actual temporary office space industry. You've seen this in a company such as WeWork, who have invested over $3 billion. And a lot of companies are allowing people to work from home or remotely by leasing out temporary office space where people can hold meetings and they're able to have a physical office to handle certain needs. There is a large investment in technology. So the biggest transition that we're seeing is our clients that are working from home and setting people up in a position where they're operating out of a home office need the type of technology that can integrate to support working from different locations, from different countries and different regions.
I know that in our system, I wish I could find a really good phone system that would do it better than we have now. I mean, we're always looking for the next bigger and best thing. And you're right, communications is one of the keys, and that is constant communication with those remote team members and making them still feel like they're part of a team if you were going into an office somewhere.
And I think if you look at the model of WeWork as an example and how rapidly they've grown, they offer that and they lease space by the office, the cubicle, or even by the person. So that's an exciting area of growth. And it's also something that lends itself to design and collaboration by having people work in a similar office environment and setting and making that easy. So we've seen over $3 billion in the past 2 years invested in that temporary leased office space model that's a shared office space as well. And they're also sharing resources, which is good for the environment, sustainability, and very attractive to certain companies.
Well, it's much greener.
Much greener.
Much greener. And that's a good thing. So let's go down to the next question, and that is, companies are downsizing their populations. How is that impacting your industry? What are you doing to adapt to that?
Well, we're noticing that workplaces as a whole are being downsized. There's a lot more consolidation. Companies are looking to have more central hubs and less facilities. A lot of companies are trying to incorporate the IKEA model, and that means buying land as opposed to renting when possible and developing that land so they can hold it as an asset. And the relocation side, what we're noticing is if companies are downsizing or consolidating, it brings us tremendous opportunity in the relocations field to manage group moves where people are relocating in pairs. And we're also assisting with the workspace and the workplace design. So when companies are changing their workspace, and to get a little bit into one of our other topics later on, they are changing their floor plan. So it's bringing a lot of opportunity for companies to really take a hard look at how they want to design their workspace when they're consolidating and building new workplaces.
I would imagine, and you please correct me if I'm wrong in this statement, it's mostly the large corporations that are becoming aware and trying to do these modifications. How are the small to mid-sized companies addressing this? And I don't mean high tech, because I know they're pretty much into this, but it's the manufacturing, it's the other type of companies where this is maybe not even on the radar.
So what we're seeing when we're handling workspace relocations of all different sizes, companies that are purchasing furniture are purchasing furniture that lends itself to a more open design. They're requiring less space because there's less of a permanent layout, and there's less modular furniture and more of a open environment, including, for example, a conference table where people can sit and they can move around from. So when we're seeing the designs and the layouts, companies are purchasing smaller spaces. There's less offices. The offices are smaller, and the furniture is changing to fit that mold, whether it's large or small.
And so the manufacturers are driving this or responding to this, and are they willing? Or how are they dealing with this? Because they've set up all their jigs, they've set up all their assembly lines, they've set up all this line, and they have to build so much and sell so much in terms of supply and demand, and all of a sudden demand's changed. How do they deal with that from the business side of manufacturing?
Well, when you're looking at the large office industrial furniture providers, I'll pick two that I have experience with, Herman Miller and Steelcase. They're the traditional companies. I actually worked with Herman Miller in the past, and they were known for the innovation of having cubicles. And they have developed this core furniture line that has storage islands, has incorporated the ability to have workstations that aren't separated by dividers. And they're taking advantage of it. They're looking at it as an opportunity, and they're pretty much at the moment dominating the market. And I think when we're seeing the purchase of these products, these companies have been forward-thinking and have already worked to create this innovative design.
If you had to predict the next 5 years, Robert Carucci, what would you say the big change in your industry is going to be?
I think the large amount of the segment of workplace are looking to focus on providing a better employee experience. And something else that we've learned from seeing millennials in the workspace, they're more interested in work-life integration as opposed to a work-life balance. So companies are adjusting to fit that mold. Work-life integration is something that's a new term to many people. We've always traditionally thought of work-life balance.
I was just going to ask you about that, yes.
Right. So work-life balance has historically been, well, you work 40 to 50 hours a week, and if you work 60 to 70, it's harder to manage your life outside of work. But what work-life integration includes, it's incorporating your daily routine, your needs for fitness, for healthy food into your daily environment. So it's accessible while you're working, and you can have even entertainment options, fitness options in your day-to-day. And companies such as Amazon and Google have provided these workplaces that have amenities, including gyms, yoga classes, sessions, restaurants that provide healthy food. Now, not all companies have that budget, but I think we're going to continue to see trends in the industry that drive that.
Well, we've hit all around it. Let's talk about the big M, the millennials. They seem to be driving this. Why don't you share with the audience your experiences from your perspective and your company's perspective on how to accommodate, integrate all of those things we've been talking about relative to the millennials and possibly the Y or Z that are also coming into the workplace?
Well, 77 million millennials are estimated to make up the modern day workforce. And by 2030, they're going to be 75%. What we're noticing in the industry is green and sustainability resources are very high on their needs and wants as employees. So when they're choosing to join an organization, they're checking to make sure that their company is environmentally friendly, that they have corporate social responsibility, and this matters. So companies that want to attract and retain the best talent should have robust programs. When it comes to a workplace, there are certain things that we have seen, such as sustainable furniture. You can actually have offices now that are refurbishing furniture, remodeling it to extend the life of the assets as opposed to purchasing new furniture. And although it may look a little different, it could be done in a way. So there's a whole industry that focuses on that level of sustainability. Even the lighting in a building, millennials prefer to work in natural lighting. Regarding the collaboration that we gain from having an open workspace, more and more companies are designing an open workspace because of the feedback they're getting on employee engagement. Employees that work in an open area enjoy the unity of being alongside their peers as opposed to being in separate offices. They enjoy the flexibility to work from different places, and they have higher engagement scores when they're sitting and working alongside their managers.
This is confirmed by other podcast guests that I've had, Robert, in that they are saying that the younger generations are much more used to working in teams and sharing than, say, the boomers or even the X's.
Absolutely. One of the things that I've noticed, I will admit, I am a millennial, and I think that's incorporated and ingrained to us in our undergraduate and graduate institutions, where we have gone through generations where we're working in teams to do presentations and on projects, and that's encouraged. And I would think that was done to meet the needs of business, because I think a lot of the things within industry are driven, a lot of the things that happen in a university are driven by the needs of businesses. So now that we have a generation that's grown up in that type of environment, it kind of makes sense to make the workspace design something that they're familiar with when they transition from school. And that fits into the Generation Z.
If you had to speak to a number of CEOs, which I'm sure you do anyway at conventions, what's your best advice to them on how to get their hands around this?
My best advice would be to not choose the most expensive workplace design. The time has changed, and simply put, look at building a workplace that will benefit your team, your staff, and their needs. It's great to have their input. Give them the opportunity to help in the design. Try and look for sustainable alternatives and options, and build a workplace that fits the needs of all your generations, all of your staff, and provides them with the employee experience that they want, that's going to keep them and retain them, as opposed to the most expensive furniture and the fanciest designers.
Great advice. Very different than it was 20 years ago. Buy the most expensive furniture, make yourself look posh, and they'll buy. Now it's more about productivity and outcomes than appearance. I find that very interesting switch in the last two decades.
It's a huge transition, and I've seen this with some Fortune 500 companies, one in the luxury retail sector that we performed a recent case study on, and their feedback to me in the beginning of the project was their decision in consolidating their workplace and designing their workspace was based on improving the employee collaboration as opposed to presenting a office that could be pictured in a magazine. And they wanted to consolidate their staff. They wanted to provide a experience throughout the day that kept their employees engaged and connected. So it's being driven by what executives within these companies want for their staffs.
Folks, our guest today has been Robert Carucci, the Regional General Manager, North America for Crown Logistics, Crown Workspace, and Crown Fine Art Divisions. Robert, thank you so much for joining Workplace Strategies. Happy to have you as a guest.
Thank you, Fred. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for joining us. If you wish to speak with Fred or you want a transcript of this interview, send an email to podcast@stuartcoopercoon.com. See you soon.